Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly is great to be with you folks once again. I just want to say to Steve, he's a very good song leader. He asked me if there was anything I wanted him to sing because of what I'm going to speak on. I said, well, not really, but it's interesting. The last song ties in beautifully, trusting and obeying. So whether you realize it or not, the Lord thought of Steve, the Lord led you to come up with one that's going to fit in very nicely here. Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. First of all, I just want to say that we are pleased to be back here and see you dear folks again. It seems so long, and yet it seems like it was only yesterday. It's amazing how time comes and goes. We were a little bit curious as to who we would not be seeing today because we get the reports, you know, from assemblies back in California and here too about, you know, what's been taking place. And we know there's been some people going through some difficult times here, and we've been praying for them, and we appreciate the updates that we get. But it's good to see those who were able to come out today and just trust the Lord to bless our time together. Now, that last song, Trust and Obey, is really kind of a perfect lead-in to what I've decided to speak on today. And it's going to be a topical study, the Christian lifestyle, as indicated here in the book of Ephesians. Not that it's limited to the book of Ephesians, but this is where the basic thoughts are coming from. And of course, to live the Christian lifestyle, the most important thing we can do is what? Trust and obey the Lord and His Word. And I'd like to have you turn to Ephesians chapter 4 to begin with here. Not all of the passages we're going to look at are going to be just from Ephesians, but they will be the lead-in on five evidences that I've come up with that's so important in the Christian lifestyle as we see here in this particular epistle. Now, most of us understand what lifestyle means. It changes erratically as you look at the young people here, their lifestyle. Looking back, I mean, it's just a good one. You know, you're young, you're vibrant, you don't have many cares in the world, and yet you do have responsibilities, and we thank the Lord for those who are being brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But you know, as you get to various stages of your life, your lifestyle begins to change. And I look back over my life, which is a pretty long life at this point in time, and I can attest to the fact that at this stage of my life, my lifestyle in many ways is nowhere near what it used to be when I was younger. You know, so in the physical sense, our lifestyle will often change. And there is a time where it does change for the better. You know, new and different things come into our lives that we look forward to, we train for, we plan for. And the Lord blesses us, but you know, there also comes a time in your life where I'm at now, where many of those things that I did vivaciously when I was younger and enjoyed doing enthusiastically, the bottom line is I can't do them enthusiastically anymore, and in some things I can't do them at all anymore. You know, so in the physical realm, our lifestyle is going to change in many ways. But you know, when it comes to our Christian lifestyle, that's entirely different. That should never change. And we're going to look at five different things that are always should be true in your lifestyle as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, your age will determine how you will look at some of these things. But at the same point in time, I think you're going to find that the lifestyle of a believer is determined by God and His Word. He tells us the type of lifestyle that we should be living as one of His blood-bought children. So we're going to look at five different ways concerning our Christian lifestyle. The first is in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul speaking, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So what we read here in these first three verses of chapter 4 is that we are called to walk worthy of the Lord or in our calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God's Word tells us very clearly there are several things about our calling. And as we mentioned these, just examine your own life. Are you walking worthy in these areas of your life? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we read, God called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Remember that blessed day when God called you out of darkness into His marvelous light? You know, thus we are to walk in this marvelous light. That's what Peter tells us. We are to walk in the light as He is in the light. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, our calling is a heavenly calling. And you know, regardless of what age we are in life as a believer, remember, our calling is always a heavenly calling that God has given us. It should be focused on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know as young boys and girls, there's a different aspect to this, but as you become teenagers and as you become middle-aged, and then you get up into the age where some of us are at, where we're mature supposedly mentally and spiritually in the Lord, it also becomes extremely more difficult sometimes as we get older because of the limitations now that have come into our lives to do certain things. But when it comes to our heavenly calling, well, that should never change. You see, our lifestyle should always be evidenced in our daily lives. Philippians 3:14 says, our calling is a upward, majestic, high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a very important calling. In Romans 8:28, we are called according to His purpose. And in verse 29, it says, which is to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. So as we go through these little passages here, I want you to evaluate in this instance here. Remember, you are called by God to walk worthy of the vocation that He has called you to walk worthy in our calling in Christ Jesus. This should be before us every morning as we start the day. Yes, I have all kinds of things that I have to do in this life. And they get in the way. They keep you busy. They keep you occupied. But there's one thing we have to understand, that every moment of every day, if you are a child of God, you have been called to walk with the Lord at all times. And demonstrate that as well. In Romans 8:28, we are called according to His purpose to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. You know, I've had a few people over the years to say, Bob, are you more Christ-like today than you were 10 years ago? I mean, those are tough questions to answer. You know, but it's true. You know, I've been saved for over 70 years. Have I grown spiritually? Am I more Christ-like now than I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago? You know, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, He comes into your life and you have everything you need to live godly in Christ Jesus. Because He's in you. The Spirit of God is there. But at the same token, we grow just as we do physically, gradually. Well, it's a continuous growth. These young boys here someday will be, Lord willing, and the Lord be not come, an old man like me. And a lot of different things will change in their lives in that respect. But if they know the Lord Jesus Christ at a young age, and I trust all of them do, if not, it's time you accept Him today, all right, there should be progression, not moving backwards in our spiritual life. You see, our Christian lifestyle should improve and move forward all the days of our life and our walk with the Lord. In Romans 1:7, it says we are called to be saints. Well, that means you're called to be holy. Holiness of life is important in the Christian lifestyle. You know, there are certain stages of life where that seems to be more difficult than others, at least in our mind's eyes. You know, I look back when I was a teenager. Well, yeah, there were certain temptations that come before me that didn't come before me when I was just a little boy. But the point is, Christ was in my life at the age of 11. So many of those temptations that all my friends were dealing with really weren't that great temptation to me because Christ was in my life. He gave me the strength and the power and the wisdom to understand. Bob, this is not a lifestyle for one who belongs to me. You know, as I grew older, different things come into your life. And different distractions and things that pull you away from the Lord if you allow them to. It doesn't matter how old we are. We have to understand that our walk with the Lord, our Christian lifestyle, is to be consistent throughout our entire time that the Lord gives us here in this earth. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I just want to take a moment just to turn over there and read that passage there. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, or virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did you notice here the various statement, you are to add to your faith. In other words, your faith is to grow in the ways of the Lord. Now, even though there is much in Scripture about God's calling being God's work, and it is, you know, we are expected to add to our faith. In other words, put into practice the things that we mentioned here. Virtue, which is really moral excellence. Knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Temperance, allowing the Lord to control your life. Patience, godliness, kindness, and love. These are things that are to perpetuate your entire lifestyle, no matter what age you're at. Throughout your spiritual life, we are to allow these aspects of spiritual lifestyle to grow in our lives. Now, everything in our lifestyle should center around the fact that we are called, and this is the emphasis there, we are called to do this by the Lord Himself. We are called to be His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. And you know, we're all familiar with that whole passage. We all love Ephesians 2:8-9. You know, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But somehow we never pay a lot of attention to verse 10. And verse 10 there, this is after by your being saved by grace through faith and not of yourself. He says in verse 10, that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, that's what you're called to do. You realize that the first time you could do a good work was the day you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. We in ourselves, in our sinful nature, cannot do good works. Oh, we may strive to do them and think we're doing them. But this sinful nature of ours is not prone to doing things good. It's to do just the opposite. But you see, once Christ comes into your life for the first time, once you've been saved by grace through faith, not your works, but through faith in the person and the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are now called by the Lord to do good works. and you can finally do them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. And in his power and his might, you can live a godly lifestyle in this wicked, sinful world. A summary of this calling is found in 2 Corinthians 13:11. It says, be perfect, which means be mature. In other words, grow up. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. So yes, the first thing here is we are to walk worthy of our calling in Christ. Just a reminder. You've heard this before. But you see, wherever you are in your lifestyle at this point, remember, you are to walk worthy of your calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second evidence of what should be involved in our lifestyle is found in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verses 7 and 8. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And that means all mankind. He gave gifts to those of us who belong to him. And you know, this is such an important part. Now, this assembly is doing quite well compared to many that I've been at. There's been several very good assemblies I've been to, and there's been so many that are struggling terribly. And of course, I think part of the reason is this particular second evidence here. Their Christian lifestyle is being neglected by exercising their spiritual gifts. Do you understand that when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he came into your life. The Spirit of God came into your life. And when they came into your life, they brought into your life spiritual gifts. Now, we all have different ones. I know the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's roughly, I think, about 17. We don't all have them all. But every child of God is gifted by God to be a workman for God, to live for the Lord. And your lifestyle should be reflected in your spiritual gifts. You see, the grace that is given is a distribution of gifts to every believer by the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned, every last one of them is intended by the Holy Spirit to minister to unify the church, the body of Christ. In just Romans chapter 12, you don't have to turn to it because we wouldn't have time to do all those things, but I have it written down here. In Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 3, just listen. For I say to the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy and cheerfulness. You know, the point here is all of us have been given spiritual gifts by the Lord. And we're to use those spiritual gifts. Now, you may say, well, I don't know what my gift is. Well, the hardest thing in the world is for you to figure out what your gift is. I found from experience, other people will know what your gift is quicker than you will know. And I can remember, and I still feel this way today, I have never felt that I have the gift of teaching. I'll be very honest, I have never felt that I've had this gift. And yet I must have it. Now why? Because you keep asking me back. And you know, that's been true wherever I've been. And yet, for myself, I don't feel I have the gift to teach anybody. But obviously the Lord is using me in that respect. You know, you have to understand, every one of you have a spiritual gift, maybe more than one. But the point is, you know, spiritual gifts are important. And what makes this body of Christ be what it is because everybody here, hopefully, is using the spiritual gift that the Lord gave you. Now, we could speak forever on this particular subject, but of course, we don't have time to do that. And of course, we pointed out here, the grace that is given is a distribution of gifts to every believer by the Holy Spirit. So you may not know what your gift is yet, if you're younger, but rest assured, people will know, and you will know, eventually, what that gift is, what the Lord has called you to do in the body of Christ. And the grace that is given is a distribution of gifts to every believer by the Holy Spirit. And you know, when you think about the aspect I read in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, three reasons for these gifts are pointed out. It's for the perfecting and maturing of the saints. You know, all of us start out as babes in Christ. Unfortunately, many of us stay babes in Christ because we are not interested in exercising and finding out how the Lord wants to use us. The Lord didn't just save you to take you to heaven. Oh, yes, I know. Ultimately, that's where we're going to be and want to be. And that was his reason for coming to die and give his life a ransom for us, so that where he is, someday we can be with him also. But you see, the Lord has left me on the face of this earth for 82 years, and there's a reason for that. I don't understand why I'm still here doing as well as I am. I think of all the men that I ministered with and knew over the years, and they're all gone. The Lord has taken them home, much younger than me. And yet I'm still here. Could be gone tomorrow. That's okay. But the point you have to understand is all of you have a spiritual gift. And it's important for you to find out what it is, and more importantly, to use it. That's how the body of Christ grows. No one or two individuals are the secret to this assembly. It's all of you working together, using the gift that the Lord has given you, whatever that gift might be. It's used to perfect and mature the saints. It's used for the work of the ministry. Your gifts are used to build up and edify the body of Christ. You see, all three together is a process that describes making something useful that is not yet adequate. You know, I'll be honest, this is one of the most enjoyable meetings I go to. There's several I can say that about. But what made you the meeting you are? Is because you're just special in yourself? No. Obviously the Lord has been using you, and you've been allowing the Spirit of God to exercise the gift he has given you amongst the saints here. Because regardless of whether you realize it or not, we need one another in the Lord. And this little phrase, a process that describes making something useful that is not adequate, is a good example of Matthew 4:21. And here, of course, the example is James and John mending their fishing nets. Now, they were all fishing all the time. And, of course, they used their nets. The nets were profitable to a degree. But, you know, why were they mending them? Because they weren't totally adequate yet. There were still little holes in the net. Yeah, most of the fish they caught, they got, but a lot of them slipped out through holes. I can remember fishing with my father-in-law one time. He had this metal basket. It was really a neat way to catch fish, you know, put a fish in. And you just hang it over, it would hang right down the water. There's a little latch on the top. You just stuck the fish down through the latch. It went right down to this metal wiry container where the water could still keep the fish alive and that type of thing. And we had a really good day. We were catching all kinds of bluegills. And now it came time. We came to shore. And it was getting ready to pull the thing up. I'm thinking, boy, we're going to have a heavy load here. And we pulled that thing up. There was just a few fish in the bottom. And what had happened is the little latch, which we are unaware of, didn't catch everything. It just kind of stayed partially open. So the fish down under the water, they just found their way out. We weren't even aware of what that was going. You see, the thing that we were using was something that was useful, but it wasn't adequate. And what we have to understand, you know, the purpose of our spiritual gift is a process that describes something that is useful and necessary in the body of Christ. If you are not using your spiritual gift here, your spiritual lifestyle is off track. You need to use your spiritual gift. And if you don't know what it is, talk to the elders, talk to other people. They might be able to give you some pretty good insight as to what it just might be. But it's something, you know, if you are seriously concerned about your spiritual gifts, you will be asking the Lord in the Spirit to reveal the gift He gave you. And it could be more than one, but it may be only one. Thus, our lifestyle should include using the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He gives us and others to grow in the things of God. So, the bottom line is, our gifts are from God, they're perfect, they're complete, thus our lifestyle should and must include using them. The next one is our wisdom. The third evidence of our lifestyle should be our wisdom. We should be evidenced by this, looking at Ephesians 5:17, just one verse there, Ephesians 5:17. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's read that again. It's short. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, our spiritual lifestyle should be exhibited by our wisdom, the spiritual wisdom that we have in and through God and His Word. In Ephesians 5:17, it says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, what is it? Well, it's interesting there, the wherefore, the therefore in that verse is preceded by the command in Ephesians 5:8. And we'll just look at that for a moment, Ephesians 5:8. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's not hard to figure out. You see, you are light in the Lord. You are to walk as children of light. You see, this particular gift here in relationship to our lifestyle and wisdom is so important. A light lifestyle is expressed in the character of at least four things. In Romans 15:14, goodness. Do you express and indicate goodness in your life? Romans 14:17, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. These are just things from God's Word dealing with wisdom, spiritual wisdom. Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then, of course, Galatians 5:22, you would have to add, and we're not going to go through the nine things that are mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit. But, you know, the interesting point here is, if you are going to be wise in the Lord, then you have to understand that the Spirit of God has gifted you and given you the ability to love the Lord. You know, the first three gifts, spiritual gifts that are given in Galatians are directed to the Lord. Love, joy, and peace. Are you enjoying the love of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord in your life? You know, the next three deal with how you are treating other people. I'm not going to name them off. They're there. You know what they are. But they're directed to how you are dealing with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you should be doing it in a godly, Christ-like manner. And of course, the last three are directed to yourself. Things in your own life that the Spirit of God wants you to focus in on and make sure that you're walking in the will, in the ways of the Lord. All right, I've got to keep moving along here quickly. So our lifestyle should consist of that wisdom that comes from God, that enables us to know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's 1 Corinthians 2:12. And to understand what the will of the Lord God is in your life. Ephesians 5:17. And when I read statements like understand what the will of the Lord is God is in your life, I have to ask a very hard question. Do you even really care? Do you really care what the will of the Lord is in your life? You know, as a child of God, we should. I mean, these spiritual gifts are given so we can build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. And even youngsters can be an encouragement to older people. I hope you young fellows and gals understand that in your zeal for the Lord at your young age. Middle-aged people can be have real impact on either end of the spectrum. And as we get older, we're beginning to think, oh, I'm not sure I'm worth doing much of anything anymore. Oh, don't kid yourself. Those who grow old in the Lord have so many experiences that they can share how the Lord has worked in their lives and blessed them. They can share how they may have stumbled and fallen in their walk with the Lord and how the Lord graciously dealt in bringing them back. You see, all of us are to encourage one another in the Lord. All right, the fourth one. The fourth evidence is our control. The context of this chapter deals with behavior. And this is, look at verse 5 of chapter 18. And do not be drunk with wine. Now, a better, and which is dispensation. I think a much better rendering there, and of course this is just my suggestion. It says, do not be worldly. You know, if you just focus in on drunk, wine, and that type of thing. Well, so, well, yeah, I'm okay. I don't do any of that. But we're talking here about a lot more than that. Do not be worldly, but in contrast, be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, this is a tough one in this day and age. This world around us is making it so difficult to live godly in Christ Jesus. You have to depend upon the Lord. You have to allow the Spirit of God to control your life. You see, you have to live this type of lifestyle that enables you to walk with the Lord, to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ in this wicked, sinful world. It's not going to get better out here. I hope you're not naive enough to think that anything that's going on with political parties and all this nonsense is going to have any positive change in this world, no matter which end it is. Satan is at work. He's the prince of the power of the air. And you can see his working more and more and more all the time. If you want to know something, there's nothing he would love better than to creep into this meeting and see it begin to dissolve. Don't let that ever happen. How do you avoid it? You use the spiritual gifts the Lord has given you. You do what the Lord asks you to do so you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And move in context with that. And allow him to really control your life. And I'll just mention the last one because my time is up. It's our relationships. Verses 20 and 21 of chapter 5. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the key. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Is it easy to submit to one another? Humanly speaking, it just goes against our grain. I don't want to submit to anyone. I want to do my thing, my way. That's the world's way. But you see, because of the Spirit of God is within you, the Word of Christ dwells in your heart richly, we can honestly say we are controlled. We should be controlled by the Spirit of God within us. We should be controlled by the Word of God. It's nice to read it. It's nice to study it. But if that's as far as you go with it, it's not of much value. You need to practice it. Apply it in your life. Well, our relationship with the Lord is a marvelous thing. And you know, we are to submit to one another in the fear and reverence and awe of the Lord and His never-changing Word. Well, our time is gone, so we're going to bring this to a conclusion. And I would say, you know, above all, as members of the body of Christ, we are to submit to Christ's authority because of His love for us and our love for Him. And this will be evidenced by our obedience to Him and His Word. So, the five things. Number one, our calling, walk worthy of the Lord. Our gifts, they're perfect and complete, so use them. Our wisdom is to understand the will of the Lord in every aspect of your life. Our control is being filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And finally, our relationships are to be carried out by submitting ourselves to one another in reverence and awe of our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I trust this little lesson on the Christian lifestyle has spoken to you. We are to live godly in Christ Jesus. Allow the Spirit of God to control our lives. Use your gifts. Encourage one another. Because Satan would nothing more than to get in here and mix all things up. But see, only you can keep that from happening as you wait upon the Lord and allow the Spirit of God to exercise the gift that He's given you and use it in this meeting to His honor and glory. Shall we pray? Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the Holy Spirit of God that indwells each and every one of us who belong to Thee. We're thankful that He's there as our comforter, our teacher, our guide, our earnest and our seal until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank You for the instruction from Your Word that we are to live in obedience to You. We are to allow You to work in and through our lives to Your name's honor and glory and to the edification and building up of our brothers and sisters in Christ. May it be so. Depart us now from this section of the meeting and bless the one that is coming forward. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.